Welcome to the debt collection drill. Moss & Barnett is pleased to present the Debt Collection Drill, the podcast featuring Moss & Barnett shareholders John Rossman and Mike Ponson, providing sage tips for improving collections and compliance.
Welcome again to the Debt Collection Drill. I'm Mike Ponson, and with me as always, John Rossman, chair of the Creditors Remedies and Bankruptcy Practice Group here at Moss & Barnett. John?
Thanks, Mike. Today we are going to discuss my absolute favorite defense to FDCPA claims. The title of our podcast today is Common Sense is the Best Defense to an FDCPA Lawsuit. Mike, I know you recently had a case where the issue of common sense came up and came up with a victory for our client. It was a case out of New Jersey. Could you discuss that case a little bit, please?
Yeah, John. In that case, the only fact pattern, our client had sent out an initial validation letter with the proper G validation notice, and also included a phone number saying, please call if you have any questions. Well, the consumer alleged that by putting the phone number in there saying, please call, it confused the consumer as to whether or not they could call to dispute the debt or had to exercise their rights in writing. And the court, in its decision, pointed out that it was an unreasonable interpretation and it was putting aside all common sense, essentially. So good to see an order like that, and it's what it should be.
Mike, I think my favorite quote from an FDCPA case from 2012 thus far comes from your case, and I want to read it for our audience. The court wrote, "Plaintiff's interpretation requires the reader to ignore his own common sense and is the kind of idiosyncratic interpretation that the court need not heed, even under the low bar of the least sophisticated debtor standard." I mean, that's just gold. I wanna take that phrase and have it bronzed. That's just brilliant. You know, Mike, you and I have been talking about common sense as a defense to FDCPA cases as long as we've been practicing together. And I was actually thinking back and preparing for this podcast today about a case we handled 10 years ago. And I think that was the first time I ever made the argument in open court in front of a judge that, look, the letter in question was polite, it was reasonable, and it doesn't violate the law. And I think in a lot of circumstances, when we look at an FDCPA case, a lot of times debt collectors and attorneys as well will look to, well, is there a defense that we can make under bona fide error, or is there a 1692E11 violation? Sometimes I think the first step we should do is take a step back and determine whether, from a common sense standpoint, there's some type of defense that can be made. Mike, you're winning all the cases this year, so let's talk about another case that you won earlier this year, which also involved an element of common sense, if you will, and that was a case out of the Southern District of Illinois.
Okay, yes, John, in the Strickland case, the plaintiff had asserted that collection letters violated the FDCPA because they did not set forth the full name of the creditor. The letter identified it as Sprint Services, and of course it was for the cell phone company Sprint. The plaintiff had provided internet searches showing that there were multiple entities with similar names, and the court wrote a decision rejecting that interpretation, saying that the debtor was attempting to have her cake and eat it too because she had manufactured her confusion over the letters. The court went on further to state that if the plaintiff was truly confused by the letters, she was invited to request the information regarding the original creditor per the instructions on the very letter that she claimed confused her and in accordance with the FDCPA. So, and I think that segues nicely into one of my favorite cases, the Richmond Higgins case here in the Eighth Circuit, which held that if you get a communication, you can't just turn around and sue on it. You have to disputed under 1692G. You can't claim that you dispute the debt later on via lawsuit. You have to follow the confines of the FDCPA and make a proper dispute. And thankfully, we've seen about five or six courts follow the Richmond Higgins holding, and this Strickland one is along a similar vein.
Now, Mike, with Richmond Higgins, the argument in essence is if you don't dispute it in response to the validation notice, you can't raise that dispute later. And I know you even litigated this issue in the Fifth Circuit on a Texas case. So we've seen courts accept what we call the Richmond Higgins argument across the country. And here again, it's a common sense argument. It's taking a look at the validation requirements, which the debtor has a right to request validation or otherwise dispute the debt. And if the debtor doesn't raise that dispute, why should they be allowed to raise that dispute in a lawsuit where they could have raised it earlier on before taxing the federal court system with a lawsuit? You know, Mike, one way that we can look at common sense as well as debt collectors is what can we do on the front end? What kind of common sense can we use on the front end when we're collecting on accounts to make a determination, to use common sense, to avoid these FDCPA lawsuits? So, if you will, common sense can be both a sword and a shield for debt collectors when it comes to FDCPA liability. And one way I like to look at it is, to the extent that you have a placement of accounts that might be old, out of statute, if you will, if you have accounts that are from a disfavored creditor, if you have accounts that are otherwise possibly not the most popular accounts to be collecting on, I think there are certain precautions you need to take and certain things you need to do. You know, I've talked about the Gonzalez case a few times on our podcast, and that's that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case that held that the language, the California credit bureau reporting language, when used in a certain context, violated the FDCPA. And I think in looking at that case, that was a disfavored debt, if you will, that the debt collector was attempting to collect. It was, if I recall correctly, a health club debt, and it was a very old health club debt, which two criteria that I think you'd look at when determining what's going to be an unpopular debt. You've got an old health club account, and I think that's going to be the type of debt that when a court looks at something, it is going to be more likely to look more closely, if you will, to find a violation.
You know, and I think, you know, talking about the common sense, you bring up the bad facts there. When you get sued, you know, you have to look at it, and, you know, there is that common sense. Should we defend this one? Is this one we should be filing motions on? Should we settle? You know, far too often you do see the bad facts do make bad law. And those are the decisions we all hate seeing out there. So, again, applying that common sense, and if you've got a case with bad facts, doing what you can to settle it and keeping it from becoming a published opinion that's going to be used as a sword against you in the future.
I think that's a great point. And in addition, obviously, we've seen bad facts from the plaintiff side, from the consumer or the debtor side, turning into law that's been favorable for our industry. So also knowing, obviously, which cases to fight and which cases the facts are so good that you can need to push forward, which ties right back to the case from 10 years ago that I was talking about, where I was arguing to the judge that, look, the letter is polite, it's courteous, it doesn't make any threats. And the judge, in her opinion, wrote that the arguments the letter violated the FDCPA were somehow a silly stretch of the law. And so that's something we always need to take a look at. I know we have clients call us a lot and say, look, I've just got sued on this silly claim or this frivolous claim. Sometimes we need to take a closer look at those and determine, you know what, if there really isn't anything here, maybe we want to, rather than making technical legal arguments, which we need to make, we need to also look at common sense and appeal to the common sense of not only the folks who are bringing the claims, but also, if necessary, to the judges that will ultimately be ruling on those claims. Mike, we are out of time for today. It's June, and I believe we're going to take July off again this year, so we will not return for a podcast until August, so we'll have a one-month hiatus here. So we look forward to talking to everyone next time. I'd like to thank Mike Ponson for his great participation, as well as Angela Holden, our executive producer, and we look forward to talking to you next time. Thank you.
Visit the website for this podcast at thedebtcollectiondrill.com. You can send feedback to The Drill at moss-barnett.com and follow us on Twitter at @collectdrill. This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any listener. Please remember that we can only give general information and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns.